Money makes the world go around, the world go around, the world go around. Money makes the world go around, it makes the world go round. A mark, a yen, a buck or a pound.
A mark, a yen, a buck or a pound.
Is all that makes the world go around, that clinking, clanking sound can make the world go round. Money, 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 money.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Dimitri Papadimitriou, who's president of the Levy Economics Institute and Jerome Levy Professor of Economics at Bard College. He's testified on a number of occasions in hearings of the U.S. Senate and the House of Representatives, and has also been a distinguished scholar at the Shanghai Academy of Social Sciences. Welcome to Background Briefing, Dimitri Papadimitriou.
Thank you very much for having me.
And clearly there's a chance of a default now with Greece. It's been talked about a lot for the last 2 years, but now there are rumblings and from European central bankers that are floating the idea that a default may well happen. And of course, there's this political gridlock where they can't form a government. At this point, it's not clear whether they will form a government. First of all, what's your understanding of the role of this key player here, Alex Tsipras of the new party Syriza, who refuses to join any of the existing coalitions?
Well, you have to understand that this is an opportunity for the left party in Greece to have a real chance of being the kingmaker in terms of the political system in Greece. This is not the ultra-communist party, but it is certainly the left that has been, from the beginning, opposed to the bailout packages, especially the second one. So there is an opportunity, since the signal from the elections have shown that a good number of people are anti the bailout package as it was adopted and passed through the parliament by the technocratic government of Lukas Papadimos. So from his perspective, Mr. Tsipras has the opportunity to now push forward the agenda that he has been has adopted for a number of years, that the memorandum of understanding that comes with the bailout package is not really acceptable. It has given a lot of misery to the Greek people, and therefore, from that perspective, if the government is to be established with his participation, they have to, in some ways, take this as the number one priority. So I would suspect that the president of the Republic, Mr. Papoulias, will not be successful, as the early indications show, which means that there will be elections within the next 30 days. And that probably will sit well with Mr. Tsipras, because the latest polls show that his party, the Radical Party of the Left, is gaining more support than it was possible to muster from the previous election. And therefore, from his perspective, why not go for elections? Why be actually compromising with the parties that brought in and agreed to these austerity measures?
But that of course, is his bottom line, that he, unless those parties renounce what they've done, then he's not going to join them. So this is really laying down his marker, isn't it? The Greek socialist daily paper Ethnos has warned on its front page today that politicians were playing Russian roulette with the country's economy, which is teetering on the brink of default. This is a high-stakes gamble. How much do the Greek people support the idea of taking a kind of reckless plunge in the dark there in terms of defaulting and going back to the drachma?
I think the question that should be asked is whether the Greek people believe that this is sort of the end of Greece's membership to the club of the Eurozone. I think many people see some signs that even the parties that agree to those austerity measures, they're willing to start some renegotiation. And yesterday's report from Mr. Juncker, who is the chairman of the Eurogroup, has indicated that perhaps Greece should be given more time to meet the targets that were established in the bailout plan. Instead of 2 years, perhaps it should be longer. This is some light at the tunnel, which gives some hope to Greek people, and perhaps dealing with politicians, everyone will take advantage of, I said that, I wanted to do this. So every political, I think, system now, every political party, I'm sorry, is interested to take credit for some warm signals that are coming from Brussels or from Berlin. Mr. Tsipras, perhaps, is overdoing it. But on the other hand, it may be an opportunity for him to either play this high-stakes game and either win or basically go back to where it used to be, a marginal party.
Again, I'm speaking with Dimitri Papadimitriou, who's president of the Levy Economics Institute and the Jerome Levy Professor of Economics at Bard College. On the other hand, it seems, Dimitri Papadimitriou, that what we hear from Europe and the central banks, I mean, there may be some room to renegotiate and get better terms. And I believe there's a $30 billion payment that's being held up. There's also a lot of rumblings from European central bankers, basically not just accepting the idea of default, but many of them are sort of so exasperated that they might even welcome it, it seems.
Well, it's very difficult to know. You may be right. I think that the European leaders from Berlin and from Brussels and from anywhere else and from Frankfurt wouldn't certainly be acquiescent to this request because it won't stop with Greece. If they do it for Greece, it will come. Portugal will be next and Ireland. And perhaps a different kind of a plan will be given to not only to Spain, but also to the Netherlands as well. So I think that they have to be very, very careful, even though they have said that Greece is a particular case, since it's a very much smaller country. It also, its finances were in total shambles. So it may be that it is a special case. But again, it's very difficult to assume that they will go along with it. So there is a real possibility that Greece actually will leave the euro, especially if the payment is held back. I foresee that the payment won't be held back because the biggest portion, the lion's share of the payment, is basically to retire existing bonds, which are part of the ECB. They are part of the European Financial Stability Facility, as well as some private sector. So I suspect that some portion of the payment will come. It depends if the Greek government will accept a portion and then wait for the other portion that's supposed to be used for the Greek people's expenses, which includes pensions and payments of salaries to the public employees. So we will have to see. But you're right, there is a very high possibility that things will get narrowed and the prospects might lead to ultimately Greece leaving the euro.
Well, it seems, though, in many ways, Dimitri Papadimitriou, that this is generational in Greece. The young, and by the way, there's 54% unemployment amongst the young. They've voted for Tsipras and are supporting his policies, whereas according to Greek polls, the majority of Greeks favor remaining in the euro. So is this what's going on? There's the young people who are facing unemployment, have seen these crooked and incompetent governments make all of these bad bets and act in this profligate and irresponsible way, leaving them holding the bag. I mean, it seems to me that this is there's quite a lot of generational anger in this.
Yeah, I don't think that even the young people wished Greece to exit the euro. I think overwhelmingly the Greek people, young, old, and from wherever walks of life, know that leaving the euro will be a catastrophe. But on the other hand, there's a difference between staying in the eurozone and suffering every day on what appears to be harsh and helpless austerity measures. And there is, you know, the sense that we, as we have in the United States as well, that everything that we do primarily is towards the banking sector and not really to the everyday people. And from that perspective, Mr. Tsipras's pronouncements find resonance with the Greek people. So it's not only the young, and I don't think that there is a choice for the Greek people to actually exit the euro. It's just a question whether it would be possible to stay in the euro if, in fact, there will be no payment and no support that comes outside of paying or repaying the government bonds that have come due. So it's not their choice to leave the euro, and I think even Mr. Tsipras' pronouncements go to pains to say we're not interested in leaving the eurozone. We want to have a different terms and stay in the eurozone. Now, whether this is possible or not is a different question.
Well, Dimitri Papadimitriou, we've spoken in the past over the last couple of years and have both sort of wondered about why it is that the European Union, particularly the central bank and particularly the German political leadership of Europe, since the Germans are the ones that have profited most from the euro, it has been so difficult for them to get their hands around this crisis. And the longer it goes on, the deeper the hole gets. And nothing is more stark than what's happening in Greece today. But you also have to look at what's happening in Spain today, where just on Friday, Spain moved to overhaul its entire banking system, forcing lenders to come up with $40 billion to cover these real estate losses going back to the housing boom that went bust in 2008. There's no new money. Again, there's over 50% unemployment with young Spaniards. I'm beginning to wonder here whether we've mentioned this before over the last couple of years, that in a paradoxical way, Angela Merkel holds Barack Obama's re-election fate in her hands. This is beginning to look like this may well be an unfortunately true omen, that if Greece...
I think you're absolutely right. If the can is not kicked down the road beyond November, I think this will be an important decision for the American people to see what would be the impact on the U.S. economy. Because as we all know, we are in an interconnected global economy. There's a lot of exposure of financial institutions to financial institutions in Europe to the tune of over $1 trillion. So this is not something that we should not take into consideration. And that's how we see the extended swap agreements that the Federal Reserve has extended to European banks, as well as the interest from Secretary Geithner, as well as President Obama. So I think you're absolutely right. My only concern is that when would the Chancellor of Germany will realize that you cannot say that you can cushion yourself, you have cushioned yourself and the rest of the European Union from a Greek default, because the Greek default will have a contagion effect going to Portugal, Ireland, and Spain. And, you know, in addition to the debt, which is over 340 billion euros, there are also interbalances between central banks. The Bank of Greece, which is the central bank of Greece, owes about 108 billion euros to other central banks in the European system. So it is a substantial amount of money. You can come as close to $500 billion. So that's why you hear the pronouncements from Angela Merkel that we do not want Greece to exit the euro. Because it's not only what is being held by the ECB and the European Stability Financial Mechanism, but also what interbalances are, interbank balances are, and what this would mean should Greece exit Europe.
But Angela Merkel is facing the same political situation that Sarkozy faced. And of course, France has just moved to the left away from austerity programs. Not that the Germany's not the one that's imposing most of the austerity, but she's facing a dwindling coalition. And at this point, it seems that she's always been motivated by domestic concerns, and they've never really leveled. Have they, the German government, and Merkel's never leveled with the German people. In many ways, they prefer to blame this on cultural issues, that the lazy Catholic countries in the South don't pay their taxes, whereas us, you know, hardworking Protestants pay our taxes. And the long and the short of it is that, for example, the Spanish situation has a lot to do with the housing boom that was entirely to do with Germans buying second homes in Spain. So
That's exactly right. You're absolutely right. And I think that given how the local elections in Germany have turned, I don't think that Angela Merkel has an easy election, re-election next year when she comes up for re-election. So it also derives that German people do not really know enough other than what has been told to them about the lazy Greeks, even though both Greeks and the Portuguese people work longer hours than the Germans do, but they're just not as productive as the Germans and people from Holland are because there's no technology. The diffusion of technology in the production process is minimal, if at all.
But this is a situation where, again, if you take the notion that Merkel holds Obama's electoral fate in her hands, if she is constrained from making the bold moves necessary to create a sufficient firewall to stop this thing unraveling, it's going to then cascade onto the American economy, a very weak recovery that's teetering now, and then we'll end up with Mitt Romney. I mean, this ridiculous businessman who thinks he can save America and is against the Dodd-Frank Act, wants to repeal that. And the very thing that we've just seen the dire need for with J.P. Morgan losing $3 billion.
Right. You're absolutely correct. But, you know, the ordinary folks that don't have a job and they have been long-term unemployed, and we have very many of them in the United States, with an unemployment rate that it is an underemployment rate, which translates to 20 million people. This isn't easy, and the pronouncement from someone who says that I know how to run business and therefore I know how to run a country, there's some appeal to it. Quite unfortunate for it, but on the other hand, people want to latch on to something that's optimistic. And Mr. Obama, no matter how he has tried and what he has done, and he has done a lot, it still has left a lot of people behind.
So, Dmitry, are you suggesting here that my pessimism is justified, that Romney could win because the president will be a victim of these forces outside of the country that he can't control?
Well, I hope you're wrong, but on the other hand, I cannot say definitively that the possibility is not for extremely tight race, where perhaps Mr. Romney might actually win. Of course, we do have 6 months more to go, and therefore many things can happen between now and then. And I'm optimistic that something will happen to the extent that people will see that the better bet will be in favor with Mr. President Obama than candidate Romney.
Well, just in closing, though, Dmitry, the longer the time frame is, you know, obviously what the White House is sweating bullets here, hoping that they, as you, to use your analogy, that they can, the Europeans can kick the can down the road so that the international economy doesn't unravel before November. In the meantime, what kind of narrative is the president going to come up with? He can't keep telling everybody that he killed bin Laden and that he allows gay marriage. He's got to come up with a narrative here, hasn't he?
Yes, of course. And the expectation is that he will have provided some relief with the suspension of the payroll tax And one doesn't know between now and November what other policies can be implemented. Certainly, he's talking about jobs. He's talking about his concern. And he probably, being a good politician, he will blame the Republicans. And I think they should be blamed because basically they have made it their goal to unseat him. So I wouldn't be surprised if he actually becomes much stronger in his attacks towards that.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us here today, Dmitry Papadimitriou.
My pleasure.
Again, I've been speaking with Dmitry Papadimitriou, president of the Levy Economics Institute and Jerome Levy Professor of Economics at Bard College. He's testified on a number of occasions before the committees of the Senate and the House, and was vice chairman of the Trade Deficit Review Commission of the U.S. Congress and a member of the Competitive Policy Council Subcouncil on Capital Allocation. He was also a distinguished scholar at the Shanghai Academy of Social Sciences. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking with theologian Aubrey Hendricks about how the president's support for same-sex marriage will play in the African-American community.